Good morning, and welcome to Simply Space. It's Thursday, April 25th. On today's show, Russia vetoes a U.S.-backed UN resolution to ban nuclear weapons in space, while space projects receive funding from the UK Space Agency. Plus, China is taking steps to deal with space debris after the Tiangong space station was damaged. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Space. We start off with a significant development at the United Nations. The Security Council has voted on a resolution that would ban the use of nuclear weapons in outer space. This comes amid U.S. intelligence concerns that Russia may be developing a nuclear device capable of destroying satellites. Here with more details is our correspondent. What can you tell us about this UN resolution and why it was proposed?
The resolution was drafted by the U.S. and Japan in an effort to strengthen the global non-proliferation regime, including in outer space. It called on UN member states not to develop nuclear weapons or other weapons of mass destruction designed to be placed in Earth's orbit. The resolution received broad support from over 60 countries. However, Russia ultimately vetoed the measure, with the Russian ambassador calling it a dirty spectacle and a cynical ploy by the U.S. and Japan.
And what about these U.S. intelligence concerns regarding Russia? What capabilities are they suspected of developing?
Back in February, President Biden confirmed that the U.S. has intelligence indicating Russia is working on a nuclear anti-satellite weapon. Sources say this weapon could potentially destroy satellites by creating a massive energy wave when detonated. Experts warn such a capability could wipe out large constellations of small satellites, like the Starlink network that has been used by Ukraine in its conflict with Russia. However, using this kind of weapon would likely be a last resort, as it would also damage any Russian satellites in the vicinity.
How are U.S. officials responding to Russia's veto of the UN resolution? It seems they are suggesting Russia may have something to hide.
That's right. Senior U.S. officials had claimed prior to the vote that Russia might be hiding something if it chose to veto the resolution. After the veto, U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield echoed those sentiments, asking, "Why, if you are following the rules, would you not support a resolution that reaffirms them? What could you possibly be hiding?" She called Russia's veto baffling and a shame, and also condemned China for abstaining from the vote.
And how does this all tie into the larger context of tensions between the U.S. and Russia, especially in light of the war in Ukraine?
The potential threat of nuclear weapons in space has certainly been amplified by Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which has sent U.S.-Russia relations to new lows. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said Moscow is ready to use nuclear weapons if there is a threat to the existence of the Russian state. He's also emphasized that space projects, including a nuclear power unit in space, should be a priority. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has even suggested strategic nuclear weapons could be used to defend territories incorporated into Russia from Ukraine. So there are definitely heightened concerns about Russia's nuclear intentions, both on Earth and potentially in space.
Thanks for that report on a complex and concerning situation. Shifting gears to some more positive space news, the UK Space Agency has announced the second phase of funding for international space collaborations through its £20 million International Bilateral Fund. This phase is supporting a range of projects from using artificial intelligence to improve space operations to developing new imaging instruments to study Earth's aurora. Here with more details is our space correspondent. So what can you tell us about these newly funded projects?
The UK Space Agency is really casting a wide net with this second phase of funding, David. They're backing companies and organizations from the US, Australia, Canada, India, and Singapore to collaborate with UK entities on some cutting-edge space technologies and applications. One notable project is led by Surrey Satellite Technology Limited in partnership with Australian organizations. They're developing an integrated water quality monitoring and forecasting system using space tech with potential applications in the UK, Australia, and beyond. This project is also being co-funded by the Australian Space Agency as part of the UK-Australia Space Bridge Initiative. Other projects span areas like nuclear power systems for space missions, autonomous agriculture facilities for optimal plant growth in space, and a new X-ray imaging instrument to study Earth's aurorae. The diversity of these projects really showcases the breadth of the UK space sector's expertise and its strong international ties.
It's fascinating to see space technologies being applied to such a wide range of issues, from studying aurora to addressing challenges like food security and water scarcity on Earth. Can you share more details on that space agriculture project? Growing plants in space seems like a major challenge.
Absolutely, that project is quite ambitious. UK-based Vertical Future is leading the development of an autonomous, controlled environment agriculture facility for growing plants in space. They're working with partners from academia and industry in the UK, Australia, and the US. The goal is to take learnings from current and future plant growth experiments on the International Space Station and apply them to create an optimized system that can support both space missions and further experimentation. Efficiently growing plants in space will be critical for longer-term space habitation. This isn't an entirely new field, as there has been lots of research into space agriculture, but this project aims to create a state-of-the-art, autonomous system. It's a great example of how the UK space sector is innovating by building on existing knowledge with an international, cross-sectoral approach.
And what about that X-ray imaging instrument being developed to study Earth's aurorae? How will that advance our understanding of that phenomenon?
This is an exciting project that aims to shed new light, quite literally, on the X-ray emissions from Earth's northern and southern lights. UK company XCAM is leading the development of a new instrument called AXIS, in collaboration with UK universities and the Indian Space Research Organization. AXIS will be the first demonstration of this new X-ray imaging technology in a space mission. It builds on work from the European Space Agency's Theseus program. By studying the X-ray emissions associated with aurora, scientists hope to better understand the complex interactions between the sun's energy and Earth's magnetic field that create these stunning light displays. This project is a great showcase of the UK's expertise in space instrumentation and its strong ties with international partners like India. If successful, AXIS could pave the way for a new generation of X-ray imaging technologies for space science.
It's clear that the UK space sector is thriving and making a global impact through these international collaborations. Thank you for that enlightening overview of these newly funded projects. I'm sure we'll be following their progress closely. In other space news, China's Tiangong space station has suffered a partial loss of power due to a space debris strike, according to Chinese state media. The incident occurred during a spacewalk by astronauts of the Shenzhou 17 mission on March 1st. For more on this story, we turn to our correspondent at Simply Space. What can you tell us about the damage to the space station and how it happened?
The space station's core module, called Tianhe, experienced a partial power loss after its solar panels were damaged by the impact of space debris. The debris struck power cables connected to the solar wings. Fortunately, the spacewalks by the Shenzhou 17 crew were still completed successfully despite this incident. The China Manned Space Agency, or CMSA, has said they will look to better protect the station against future debris strikes going forward.
Space debris is certainly a growing concern for all spacecraft and stations in orbit. How serious of a threat does orbital debris pose, and what makes it so difficult to address?
Orbital debris is indeed a major challenge. NASA reports show that human-generated space junk is rapidly accumulating in Earth orbit. The North American Aerospace Defense Command currently tracks over 43,000 pieces of debris. With more than 7,500 active satellites now in space, mostly from SpaceX's Starlink network, the risk of collisions is only increasing. Removing this debris is extremely difficult. Instead, space stations often have to maneuver out of the way, which is no easy task, given the strict guidelines involved. The ISS alone has had to do this over 30 times since 1998.
So how is China working to better safeguard the Tiangong station against this threat in the future? What steps are they taking?
According to CMSA Deputy Director Lin Xichang, China has already had to maneuver Tiangong to avoid debris impacts on multiple occasions. they are now taking several measures to prevent future problems. This includes enhancing their ability to precisely forecast the orbits of the station and debris, optimizing collision warning and avoidance procedures, and reducing false alarm rates by 30%. They also plan to use high-definition cameras on the station's robotic arm for closer visual monitoring. Additionally, the upcoming Shenzhou 18 mission in April will have its crew install protective reinforcements on the station's external piping, cables, and other critical equipment during their spacewalks.
It's clear that the threat of space debris will be an ongoing challenge that all space operators will have to contend with as Earth orbit grows increasingly crowded. Thank you for that report and analysis. Speaking of space missions, China is gearing up for another crewed mission to its Tiangong space station, with the Shenzhou 18 crew set to launch on Thursday. This will be the seventh crew to visit the station since its core module was put into orbit in April 2021. For more on this mission and China's broader space ambitions, we're joined now by Simply Space correspondent James. So James, what do we know about the crew and their planned activities during this six-month mission?
The Shenzhou 18 crew consists of three astronauts, Ye Guangfu, Li Kong, and Li Guangsu. During their six-month stay, they'll be monitoring the space station's functioning and performance, making repairs as needed. They're also planning to conduct six cargo deliveries using the station's cargo airlock, as well as 2 to 3 spacewalks. During those spacewalks, the crew will install reinforcements to protect the station's external piping, cables, and critical equipment from space debris. They may also carry out inspections to further ensure the station's safety.
China has been making steady progress with its space station, aiming to keep it continuously occupied for the next decade. But the country has even bigger plans on the horizon, right? Specifically, putting astronauts on the moon?
That's right. During the press conference introducing the Shenzhou 18 crew, officials also provided a rare update on China's crewed lunar program. They said the country is on track to land astronauts on the moon by 2030 as part of a larger plan to establish a robotic and inhabited lunar base, known as the International Lunar Research Station. Development is apparently complete for key components like the Long March 10 rocket, the Mengzhou crew spacecraft, the Lanyue lunar lander, and even the lunar landing suits. Prototype production and testing of these elements is said to be in full swing.
It's quite a contrast to NASA's Artemis program, which has faced delays in returning American astronauts to the moon. How do the two countries' lunar ambitions compare?
Well, NASA's Artemis 3 mission, which aims to land the first woman and person of color on the moon, was originally targeted for 2024. But a recent government report found it's unlikely to happen before 2027 at the earliest, due to various technical and budgetary challenges. So if China can stick to its 2030 timeline, it could potentially beat the US in getting the next humans to the lunar surface, although a lot can change in the coming years. Regardless, it's clear that the moon is once again becoming a key focus for space exploration, with both international collaboration and competition likely to shape the coming decades.
Fascinating insights. Thank you, James. We'll be tracking the Shenzhou 18 mission closely as the three Chinese astronauts launch Thursday evening from the Jiuquan spaceport in northwest China for a six-month stay at the Tiangong station. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Space. We'll see you back here tomorrow.